This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. On today's Breakfast Grill, we are in conversation with Singheng Electric Executive Chairman Lim King Heng as we unpack how this electrics and electronics retailer fared in 2021 and their upcoming IPO. You're no stranger to The Breakfast Grill. We've had you on The Breakfast Grill 9 months ago and I believe Koo Soo Chuang interviewed you then in March. And he asked you at the time whether you were going to IPO. You said at the time no because, quote, we are not in the manufacturing business and most of our suppliers are giving us enough credit lines and you don't really need to rely on the banks. So why the change of heart?
Actually, it's not change. I'm supposed not to disclose all these arrangements, so I have to keep silence at that moment.
Okay. And you have been planning this for how long then?
Quite some time. In actual facts, we planned from 2016, many years ago. But things didn't turn out good because of 2017, the launch of GST in the country, and our sales were slightly affected. So we delayed the IPO project. We make a good recovery after we launched a seamless new retail, and our sales bounced back 2018, 2019, and 2020. And we said that's the right timing.
The goal for this IPO is to raise about 267.5 million ringgit, of which 60% or 161 million ringgit for new stores and to upgrade and enhance these stores, right? Totaling about 61 stores. But the question in my mind is, why are you spending so much money on the physical stores when everyone is going digital?
Yeah, many, many investors or fund managers even ask me this question. You know, now people talk about online, but why is Singheng move differently? We study the worldwide trend, no matter either in the United States or in China or in Korea or in Japan. No matter how strong the online wave, offline retail still contribute 80 to 85% of the revenue. Now, which cake is bigger? Of course, the offline, 80 to 85%. So we want to be the champion in offline, right? And besides, we want to reach to every business territory out of 105 shops. Every shop must be the biggest. So we can cut the bigger cakes in the offline. While not forgetting, we are also spending a lot of resources over the online. Then we can be very, very strong, you know, offering seamless shopping experience for Malaysia.
Tell me about your regional, this goal to dominate, right? And to be basically a leader in the last mile, in that 5 kilometer radius, that's the goal. So where are the gaps? Where are the gaps in your retail stores at the moment? Where do you want to expand first? Because you're in all the major cities. Are you planning to just add more stores in major population centers? Or are you going rural, suburban locations?
Basically, we first approach will be concentrating at our 105 shop that we must uplift and make it the biggest. And besides that, you know, we are going to expand only a couple of shops every year for new location that we have not covered. Now, some are second town, some are third town. But those smaller than 70,000 population, we cannot be there at this moment. No, those that leave it for 4 or 5 years later, but not now.
So your goal is to enforce the current urban locations and build dominance in these urban suburban locations, essentially. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Which then makes me understand, right, the return on investment that people are going to put. You're saying 161 million to these 61 stores. That's averaging about 2.5 million ringgit. Is that a bit too expensive?
No, you don't work out in that way. Some are over 160 million or 160 million. Some are for acquiring a property. Not just spend on upgrade or renovation. Innovation, or some are for acquiring some property. Good locations we hope to acquire, you know, and then we have a stable fixed cost to manage the business.
Good time to acquire property?
Oh yes, of course. This is the best timing.
How much cheaper are you getting it versus where it was pre-COVID?
It's very hard to jump into this question because it's location by location, you know, then the size is pretty different. Most probably 20-30% or at least 10% cheaper compared to the past. Or even we should say it that way. In the past, even you want to acquire, nobody want to let go. More opportunity for us.
More opportunity to get go. So tell me your 105 over stores. How much of it is leased versus owned at the moment?
80% still leased.
Still leased lah. And the goal is to move to how much being fully owned?
For the next 3 years, it's about 10. We acquire about 10 locations we are going to build.
Now, with all this ambition, with this money here, what is the revenue projection and goal for 2024? You said essentially that you deliver a double-digit growth for 2021. You hope to increase it by 20%, hopefully. Is that goal going to go faster in 22, 23, 24? Are you going to hit 30, 40% growth year on year? What's the plan?
Of course, it's very difficult year on year to grow 30, 40%. It's a bit difficult. But for sure, in our past data, from Sinhing to Grand Sinhing, we foresee on average we are able to grow 30% short by short. So, but of course, the speed of acquiring or expanding the size, of course, is not that easy. So that's why only 61 within the next 3 years.
But that's a challenge, isn't it? Because your valuation for your business, PE ratio of 28, really demands much higher growth. So you have to have the confidence to deliver that 30% growth year on year, because you are at 1.2 billion in 2020. You're going to hit 1.4 next year. This year, you should double, triple in 2-3 years, isn't it? To be able to justify the valuation you're putting up for the market.
Beside expanding the bricks and mortar store, our strategy, we are also moving into a new commerce beside online or our official store or our store at marketplace, we are also setting up the CDP, customer data platform. So this customer data platform able for us to improve the conversion. It's not easy to expand the bricks and mortar store and asking for 20%, 30%, you know, purely to grow a business. So we have other strategy. So beside looking into the customer data platform, we are also moving into new commerce channel.
Okay.
So take for example, live stream commerce. We spend some time to build a new platform, automated all the processing, all the fulfillments.
Right.
So hopefully we can launch in 1 or 2 months' time.
Okay, so you don't only want to rely on the offline stores, but you have all these other ideas. But I guess the question in the end is, what does it mean for the business, right, from a financial standpoint? Are you going to see 30% in total growth then next year and 2 years to deliver this valuation that you want? Can you double the size of the business in 2 years' time?
2 years' time, we are looking at, you know, by 2025 for 30% market share, aiming to be around 20% or close to 20% on the growth rate. So just now, I emphasized new commerce channel, right? Live stream commerce. And also, we are building another commerce channel by redemptions. As you know, all this while, the only way to recruit new members only through Sinhing channel. So approximately, we manage to recruit 150,000 to 180,000 new members every year. That is not good enough for us to grow if we want to double up or triple up our business by 2025. So we think out of the box. We transform ourselves into a platform business model. So we are inviting merchants, those selling fashion or cosmetic or sportwear, so and so, to join our platform.
Yep.
Right. So when traffic coming to our platform, and we have an opportunity to recruit them as members.
I get this need for scale, right? And that's why you're really pushing for that 13 to 30% market share to 2025. And with, you know, consumption and retail patterns growing at about 4 to 5% CAGR and next year targeted at 6%, you actually have to double your numbers, isn't it? You have to double your revenue every 2 years. So to be honest, and back to the original question, you need to grow 30, 40% every year, isn't it? It is not an option.
Yes, that is why we think out of the box. Just can't too much relying on the expansion of the online. That's
okay.
We have new super apps or new lifestyle app bring us new traffic.
Fine, for sure. But that's why that's the question again, that the bulk of the proceeds is to deliver for the physical, which is not going to be the main driver of the growth. That is the biggest challenge, isn't it? That what you are saying now is that you feel that the growth to deliver this 30% market share, it's actually to move not only pushing for the physical, but it's also to drive the online. So then the question into my mind is, where is the emphasis of the investment for the digital and online?
Actually, for digital-wise, we have started our project quite some time ago, and most of the CapEx have been spent. So for us, it's only, I believe it's about 10 million we're going to spend for next 3 years. Actually, that is a small amount of money.
Yeah, but is that enough? Shouldn't you put more?
No, and also, actually, you know, we have outsourced our app to a third-party company.
company.
To run a super apps is not easy, actually. Most of the times, first few years, going to burn a lot of money. So these burnings, nothing affects the Singing's P&L at all, because we have outsourced to a third party. But what we want is new traffic that recruit and become P1 member. Now, our employee program is P1 member. We want to increase 2 times, 3 times, 4 times the numbers.
Okay, we're going to talk about that shortly and your operational plan to really broaden your user base. But I want to come back again to the goal of the return on investor for your, you know, subscribers for your shares. Because yes, I get the goal for expansion is very good. But the reality is that your margins as a business are dropping substantially. It was usually EBITDA margin about 10%. It's dropping gradually to 8-7%. Your PAT margin is about 3%. That's a really low margin business, isn't it? Is that enough and enticing for equity investors?
I believe this. Actually, our margins considered very stable for the last couple of years. But it, of course, you cannot compare to 2018 because of the government's launch tax holiday for a certain period. And those have encouraged bigger ticket size items jump, you know, and we enjoy a lot. So if you don't count that years, the figures, actually our margin is very stable. And that is consumer electronics margin. We play with huge wallet.
But the question is, it's low margin. And my question is also then, what is the pathway? Why take the equity path to secure funding? Why not debt?
Because we want to speed up a little bit, upgrading the shop to be the territory champion. We tested a couple of years. Once we achieved the territory champion, every shop, our sales grow more than 30%. You just imagine if all 105 shops grow 30%, then we achieve what we want, right? But it's, the speed is not that easy. So we take years to grow. And of course, we don't want to just depend on the online alone. We want to move into the online space. We want to move into the live stream commerce space and other things.
On the Breakfast Grill, I'm in conversation with Sin Heng Electric Executive Chairman K.H. Lim. I'm Philip C., BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. On The Breakfast Grill, we have with us K.H. Lim from Sin Heng Electric, and he's in a hot seat as we unpack his expansion plans from his IPO. Different, truly different. That is your brand differentiator. Tell me, how different are you from all the other specialist and generalist stores like Harvey Norman, TBM?
How to differentiate ourselves compared to the next door, right? It's always our questions 20 years ago. So we move forward with few elements. First is our store. Our store, the way we display, the way we enlarge the size, and so that we can display more SKU compared to the next door, right? And number two, be the loyalty program. We want our customers bring home their product different compared to the next door. The example, iPhone. Buying iPhone from Sin Heng, how to be the difference compared to the next door, right? We add extra 1 year warranty if they are members of Sin Heng. So next door offering 1 year warranty, our shop offering 2 years warranty. Example, an iPhone at price of 7,000. It means the year two, they are allowed claims on repair up to 7,000. That make big difference. And of course, the third one, differentiations, of course, our how we train our people, handle our customer service, and we use technology. Take for example, buying from Sin Heng, we don't give you any hard copy documents. Everything we go green. We don't chop any trees nowadays. So, and our customers are able to track all their documents, check their reward point, or check warranty period, you know, within the app. So that's make a lot of difference.
I actually think it's very interesting, because the three main propositions, right? The first one, I think you're saying, look, I have a very large retail concept. I have choice when you go and see the sales. The second one, I think, is very also pertinent, which is the after sales service, right? Which is the warranties, the coverage, and the support you do. And the third is people and how your service and delivery is. We tend to go to Sin Heng or stores like yourselves, check out the product and then buy it online, isn't it? That is your biggest risk, isn't it? That people actually come to your store to window surf, but actually they don't buy from you.
Actually, that's not true. You know, take for example, 10 years ago, 100 customers want to buy something from Sin Heng. They have to walk to Sin Heng offline. That's 10 years ago. Now, 100 customers want to buy something from Sin Heng. 82 of them browse through all our online, check information, check the spec, make a lot of comparison and then walk to Sin Heng store. When we talk about
the reverse
comparison,
the reverse, you mean they go online and then buy offline?
Yes, because our online sales only contribute 7.4% of the business, so that means 90% still walk to offline. But then how Sin Heng overcome on price matter, right? Well, because online, when people talk about price comparison, are their prices sensitive? Actually, we have a KPI within our internal management. We give ways. Our system, we have a system crawl all the online price. We check every day. Every day by the system. Any retailers offer more than 8% lower than our price, we will revise immediately. We give gap, handicap 8%. Why 8%? We believe the brand of Singing, the warranty, the value-added services, we are able to bring customers to our shop. They will buy from Singing. They get 8%. So just imagine.
Yeah. How many?
We are very confident.
Yeah, you can do that for a while, but eventually what you need to do is build loyalty, right? Isn't it? Because then people are willing to pay more with for Singing. The one-off transactions don't work. So you do need to build your loyalty program. You do need your customer base. And I think you were already mentioning you're adding about 150,000 customers. Tell me, how many of your buyers or transactions are actually from your loyal customers versus one-off?
Very good question, this one. Maybe you can't imagine, you know. Our loyalty customers, our sales, 95% are coming from loyalty. Can you believe? This is above worldwide match benchmark. Only 5% are non-members. The rest are members.
But that's a problem, isn't it? Because 90% means, yes, it's a small market, but you're not growing. You're not penetrating new segment, isn't it? That's also the flip side to your 90%, yeah, which is great, but maybe not that great.
Agree. Too loyalty to us, right? Very less traffic. That is why we think out of the box. How can we bring from outside more new traffic, more new member base?
So what's your membership growth now? How many members are you adding in? You said 150,000. How much are you adding year on year?
Slightly more than 3 million stock.
Okay.
That's huge numbers.
Yeah. So then next question to you is, who really is your competitor? Is it TBM, Harvey Norman, Courts, or is it actually the online channels? Who are you more worried about?
In actual facts, we are more worried about Amazon, we are more worried about Tencent, we are more worried about Taobao coming to Malaysia, all this. Because they are number one, they are deep pocket. Number two, they have all the technology. You know, that's the online space. Like, for us, we have to think of the offline space. We cannot stay and say there is no offline player going to challenge. So there are still players down here.
Yeah. So you have to manage both online and offline space, right?
Definitely.
And that's why your IPO proceeds are partly to also address the offline space and how you view it as omni-channel. Yes. So I want to focus on the online numbers. And I want to commend you, right? If you look at your online sales in 2020, wonderful, grew 155% year on year. Excellent numbers. But when you look at dissect it, 95 million out of about 1.3 billion ringgit. Yeah. Online sales is only 7% of your total sales. So, you know, give me the ambition. What is it going to be like in 2 years, 4 years? And how are you going to be able to get over the likes of Taobao to build your market share there?
Yeah, actually, our plans, you know, for 2022, we are looking at 11% for online sales. So we have putting up some infrastructure, putting up some engine to hit these numbers. Of course, Malaysian consumer electronic being, you know, on averagely, the basket size is much bigger than fashion, much bigger than other things. So Malaysians like touch, feel, and learn the features over the offline. And also they like personal touch of our people or personal one-to-one service of our people. So 11% will be fine for us when we are very happy.
That explains also why you've put 20% of the proceeds of your IPO to strengthen the group's back-end capacities and capabilities, right? So of that 20%, it's brand distribution business, upgrade your warehouse and logistics network. You want to boost your group's digital infrastructure. Give me a sense of what is the expansion for your warehouse and logistics. How many more warehouses? What is the expansion there?
Yeah, actually, in terms of, you know, retail, actually, the last mile fulfillment is one of the key elements, you know, for deliver consistent customer experience. Upfront, we can talk about all beautiful story or nice promise, but if we can't fulfill the last mile, everything gone. So for us, we want to achieve 80% of order, no matter you're offline or no matter you place order online. We want to achieve 20 next day delivery, whether you stay JB or you stay Penang or you stay Pahang. Anyway, of course, including those, you know, sometimes iPhone launching model, we want to fulfill the same thing next day.
Okay, so the commitment is 24 hours. The commitment is to deliver your products within 24 hours. That's the goal here. And that's where you think customers will come to you because no one else can do that.
Nobody can do that. Yes, that's exactly Singing.
Let's talk about the brand Singing. You're expanding on so many fronts, right? You've got so many hybrid brands. You have that Grand Singing Elite store in SS2. You've got 33 Grand Singing stores. You've got 39 Singing stores. Then you have these SingQ digital stations. And then with your plan, you went to upgrade your SingQ to Grand SingQ. I'm so confused. What is the brand architecture for Singing in terms of all these elements of Grand, Elite, SingQ and Grand SingQ?
Of course, it's a bit confusing. If you brand it, you chop it down into small names, right? But basically, it's only Singing and SingQ. But for us, you know, to manage business partners and also our internal supply chain. So we categorize from Singing to Grand Singing, right? So of course, the difference is the size, the comfort, and the number of SKU we display inside. And the upper tier, Grand Singing Elite. So that's for Singing. And all just easy to remember, Singing is trick shop. So we are trying to acquire a lot of property for Grand Singing or Singing Elite under our own property. So on Thank You, we started with Thank You. 10,000, 12,000 square feet, then Thank You. But now we want to expand, to make it 2 times the size. Or it's also for comfort, the customer, more SKU to choose, yep. Right? And comfort for shopping.
But why don't you just streamline to just one brand, Singing?
Oh, believe for marketing people, they understand very well. Straight shop, consumers buying pattern and shopping mall buying pattern, totally different. And in terms of the payment mode, the way how they make their payment, also big different. So we have all this database or all the big data in the system. We understand how they shop, what type of brand they like, and which payment mode they prefer. It's so totally different.
Okay, tell me about the products then. Which are your products that deliver the highest margins? Which ones, not so good?
In terms of home electronics or electrical appliances, usually home appliances, right, we manage to get a better margin, very stable supply because of the life cycle of this product also much longer compared to the digital gadget. Mobile phone, tablets, you know, the lifespans, usually the life cycle usually 1 to 2 years only, very short. So these are low margin, but home appliances much bigger.
I see. So is that why you are working and having exclusivity with the likes of Roberm, Delito? Because those products deliver higher margins for you.
Basically, yes.
Right. And
also, that's also another reason why we go into this, right, in this product. And the second reason is, you know, we don't want to go into those very fast moving items like mobile phone and gadget. It's very difficult to manage. We are not expert enough to handle all this.
Fair point. Because I mean, I was looking at MCMC numbers. You're right. Smartphone penetration is already 99%. TV penetration is already near 90%. So there is no real basis logic, right? But how big is the opportunity for home appliances? How much do you want to grow home appliances in the bigger scheme of things?
Actually, we look into this product category, you know, kitchen appliances. Actually, it's not new kitchen appliances, but for Malaysian to spend 20,000, 30,000 into kitchen appliances, it's just kick off. In the past, people first thing they spend is the living hall. Second, they spend is their bedroom. So now people are getting more disposable income and the standard of living is getting better. Now people look kitchen. If you happen to have a survey, then you know. Now, most of the new home, they spend into the kitchen. So it's right timing for us. You know, get this brand robot. And we foresee the sales from kitchen getting bigger and bigger in terms of ratio.
Are you going to replicate this model beyond Malaysia? Are you going to go overseas? Because there was talk about you going to Vietnam.
No, actually.
Why not?
We are just holding a 13% market share for home appliances in Malaysia. Actually, out there, 87%. Huge market down here. And we want to capture 30% first. So within short period, never have second thought to go overseas. Conquer Malaysia first.
Mm.
Put all our resources over here.
31 years in business, 1989. And having read your story, I think you are a story of incredible struggle. You started with a 1,000 square feet half shop lot in Pandan Jaya. And where you are today, 100 over stores, 1.3 billion ringgit. What a journey. What's your advice for business leaders and entrepreneurs that have gone through such a difficult time throughout this pandemic? Because I think you have gone through so many difficult times, right? From Asian financial crisis, even this pandemic has tested you. What is your message?
Every day must work or act like the first day of your business. Then you will never die. And also along the way, you know, don't feel like very comfortable. You have to transform because consumer shopping journey or the rise of technology have changed the way customers shop or even they work. So you've got to transform your business. You know, every 2-3 years, you got to transform your business. This is why Singing, we transformed 6 times from one shop to be the biggest in the country.
That's all the time we have for today on The Breakfast Grill. Singing Electric Executive Chairman Lim King Him. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.